All right. Do you have this handout, every member a minister? If you don't have it, you can raise your hand and we will get one to you. Or they're at literally right at the door. But if you need one, just wave your hand in the air until somebody puts a piece of paper in it. That's a universal sign for here you go. But we're going to follow along. We're going to read through some of this. My intention is to get through some of this, talk to you for a minute, and then if you look on the back, don't look on the back because you're cheating if you're looking on the back. We'll get to that at the end. That's what I want to spend the bulk of our time on this evening. So have a piece of paper, and hopefully you have a pen or pencil. If you don't have a pen or pencil, you're going to need it sooner than later. So maybe if you need a pen, you can grab one, or somebody, maybe Becky or Paul, can walk around with some pens. If you need a pen, let's get you a pen. But all right, let's get rolling through this, okay? I'm going to start this so we can get cruising. Values, every member, a minister from Core Doctrine, the Rock Church, Great Commission Churches, the church that you're in right now. These are some of the values we believe. Point number one, while we recognize that God calls some to be workers in the gospel as full-time vocation, we affirm the priesthood of all believers rather than a clergy-laity system. All Christians are priests, according to 1 Peter 2, 5-9. Empowered through the Holy Spirit to worship God and to be workers in the church and the world. Amen. Some of us are full-time vocation pastors, staff, such like Josh and myself. Number two, the elders have the responsibility to train and equip the members in ministry, but not to actually perform the entire ministry of the church. Kind of chuckled when I read that one the first time. So we're talking about every member a minister. So my first point I want to talk about for a minute and highlight is that every member, every believing Christian, Bible-believing Christian, is a minister in the church. In this church, you've been called to active fellowship, active love and participation, and ministry. From point number one, we just read, we affirm the priesthood of all believers, and it says to be workers in the church and the world. So we believe, we absolutely agree, that the Bible teaches that every single person in this room is called to a specific ministry, helping, edifying, growing, encouraging one another inside of the local church. God has placed every single one of you in his church for a good reason. He saved you. He drew you from the world and into his wonderful grace. And the local body is a tremendous blessing, an outpouring of God's goodness. He gives us other believers to do life and ministry with. And with that, we believe every single person here is a minister. You have a specific duty, job, vocation as a Christian to minister to those in this building. And we're not a clergy, layperson church, right? It's like all the responsibilities. That's the one thing I loved about this church. When I came to the Rock Church in 2006 or 7, it wasn't like a bunch of people with cloaks and robes and nuns and rosaries doing like all these ceremonies and stuff. Like it was just normal everyday people, like in jeans, you know, like just didn't look like they showered in a few days. I'm like, hey, that guy's doing communion. He looks like he needs a shower. Like that encouraged me. I'm like, hey, these people are like me. I can hang out with these guys. Shower. But we're not a clergy layperson. It's not like the most pristine and those who tithe the most and who have the nicest clothes are the ones doing all the ministry. No, it's a group. It's a group of people here that serve one another. The Rock Church isn't a body of people who show up and expect to be served. You guys know you show up for a little while and it's like, hey, we could sure use your help in this. And you're like, sure, we would love to. So I'm encouraged by that when I look at the men and women in the Rock Church. I don't see a room full of people who are just sitting around expecting others to serve them. I see a family that serves each other, right? Like everyday people are serving in the local church. We dive in and we roll our sleeves up and we start serving. And as you guys know, it takes a lot of people to make service run. It takes like 5-6 people just to make tonight happen. And on a Friday night, you can triple, quadruple that, 20-30 people sometimes. Whether it's, you know, any sort of church ministry, big or small, whether it's teaching or preaching or leading worship or you're setting up or you're doing coffee or you're teaching kids ministry, everybody here contributes like a healthy family. For example, like chores don't just fall on, all the household responsibilities don't just fall on the wife or the husband. It's the whole family participates and everybody comes alongside one another. We participate and we get the job done together. Everybody contributes to make a healthy church flourish. We believe that all Christians are valuable ministers in the local church. And we believe that God's work in the church is accomplished by the Holy Spirit through you guys, just normal people, right? Some of you guys can do backflips. Some of you can dunk a basketball. Some of you can do gymnastics. Some of you are smart. But everyday ministry gets accomplished by you guys. So kudos to you. Those are my little emojis. I'm clapping you. I'm applauding you. Thank you for serving the church. That's a tremendous gift for us. You have a unique gift, and we are so happy that you choose to serve us. And whether you're the pastor or evangelist here, you're a deacon or small group leader, or you scrub the toilets, or you're on lockup ministry, or regardless of your age or your sex or your race or your social status or your ability or disability, we all play an important role in the local church. Every member in our church is a minister. Every single one of you is a minister. Hi, Piper. And we've all been called to serve and love and minister one another. I see that happening in this church all the time. I can give you a couple examples. It's every week I show up, there's a handful of people who show up early. Hey, is there something that I can do to help? I'm early. I didn't want to go home. What can I do to help? Can you teach me how to make coffee? Hey, I'm sick. Can somebody cover me in childcare? It's like clockwork. When something happens, or like somebody gets a flat tire, or somebody gets a bum leg, like there's the rest of the church is really like instantaneously ready to grab the baton and just keep on trekking. It's encouraging to see that here. We're all working together in that this ministry of growing one another and advancing God's kingdom. Every one of you are valuable, bought with a price, ministers in this church. Do you have that kind of attitude and that kind of spirit when you walk through these doors? Like, this is a family that comes together, that's putting work in together, that's getting the job done, that's here. We're anticipating to grow with one another. Do you feel like you're part of this family? Like you're a part of this family? Like your presence matters, that what you have to offer is valuable, important. You should feel that way. We want you to feel that way. You should be encouraged. You should feel that way. No matter how big and how you may be doing two or three or four or five things on a Friday night service or in your homes, or you're doing small things like door greeting or sweeping or picking up trash when everybody leaves. Like that's all, whatever your ministry is, it's important to the church. It's valuable and it blesses us. It doesn't just bless the pastors. It doesn't just bless the church. It blesses Jesus. That you're obeying him, you're coming alongside your brothers and sisters, you're loving them, you're counting them as more valuable than yourself, you're serving them, you're teaching their kids, you're cleaning up after them. Every member is a minister in the world, point number two. Like point one said, all Christians are priests, according to 1 Peter 2. Empowered through the Holy Spirit to worship God and to be workers in the church and the world. And the world, right? That's the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus was very clear about this. He says, go out there and make some disciples. Teach them, minister to them, help them, coach them, correct them, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's the Great Commission. And that includes every single person who says, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus when he says that. And if that's the truth, if that's what we believe, then we have to agree that Jesus has placed us here as ministers in the world to bring more people to his son. 1 Peter 2:9 says that, right? It says, Where is it? Is it up here? Did I put it up here? I hope I did. There we go. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. Out there, as children of God, bought with the blood, redeemed, we have been given this gift of making Jesus look beautiful to the world. To proclaim the excellencies of him, spiritual gifts, someone's in tongues, let's interpret that. Who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's us, friends, Christian. He's called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We should be bragging about the excellencies there is in Jesus Christ. God has pulled us out of the world, and he's drawn us to his son, and he drops us off in this local church. You know, we grow, and then he slaps this ministry badge on us, and then he kind of kicks us back out, and he goes, okay, go out there, go do something, go do some damage in this city. Go tell the world, go out into the world and pull people from the spiritual wreckage of their life and draw them into his marvelous light. Say, look, I was there. I was lost. Now I'm found. We are supposed to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ. My friends, do you realize the power and the influence that you have, the power and the influence that you have, that you've been given by God, not just to minister to the needs of those in this church, but to minister to those hurting and broken and lost in the world? That's our calling. That's our ministry. That's our job as Christians. So one very important area, right, as ministers, followers of Jesus in the world, is evangelism. Reaching out to the lost, sharing our faith, communicating the gospel with words to our friends and family that don't know Jesus. That's an identifying mark of a believer in Jesus Christ. That literally is an identifying mark. Somebody who says, Jesus saved me. I need to tell the world about that. And I'm not saying that you got to be on the street corners 20, 25 hours a week just yelling at people, making offensive signs with a Bible verse, right? I'm not saying that. Don't do that. But there should be some tangible, outward expression of our faith overflowing out of our mouths, telling people about Jesus. There should be some evidence of that in our lives. I mean, we have opportunities everywhere to talk to people. Our standard, the culture standard is so low, just like being, just communicating nowadays. Have you ever, like, go to the grocery store, go to Walmart, just so you can get mad, because there's three cash registers and there's like 40 people in line. It'll give you a long time to illustrate my point. But what, like, how short people are communicating with one another when they're in line, or just count how many times the cashier and the customer actually even make eye contact with each other. Like, it's sad. It's like you want to be crazy in the world. You see a cashier, the barista, they have a name badge on it, just to be like, "Hey, Susan, how are you?" It'll freak them out because they'll go, "How do you know my name?" And you'll go, it's on your badge. Nobody calls you by your name here. Like, it, go to the grocery store. Watch. No, everybody's in such a hurry to just stop talking to me. I got to get back to my stuff. Leave me alone. I don't got time for this. The standard is so low of just being nice to people. Anyways, evangelism. We have opportunities everywhere, right? At work and at the water cooler, the bulletin boards, or at lunch with your friends, at home, at school, the cashiers, you know. Get to know their names in your neighborhood. When you're in those fields, whatever field you may have at work or at home in the neighborhood or conversations, relationships that you have in your everyday life, have you ever considered this truth? Have you ever considered this? When you walk by that person, you're standing next to them in line at the coffee shop, or they're serving you coffee, whatever. Think about this truth. Have you ever considered that God's trying to use your life? God's trying to use that moment to bring that person to Jesus. That's the power that you have in that moment if you are a Christian. The world doesn't have that. Harry Potter can't do that in a person's life, but the Bible can. God's using your life. He wants to use you in that moment with that barista, with that hairstylist or whatever, to share with them. That's a moment God made for you. Perfect time to say something. At least start with, "Hey, Susan, this line's crazy, I know, huh? I don't know your name. I don't stalk you. It's just on your badge. You're doing a great job. I know nobody's going to tell you that today. You're doing awesome, Susan. I'm proud of you. Can I get a high five from you? I dare you to high five Susan at the grocery store next week." It's going to change her whole day. And then you're going to look forward to seeing Susan next week when you go grocery shopping. It's like, "Hey, Susan, you're doing awesome today." She's going to remember. It's going to change her. The standard is so low. The car mechanic, tattoo artist, right? Barber, waitress, the Uber driver, I'm talking all the hip stuff, right? Hip urban ministries. But as a minister in this world, really, we would fail. We would fail as Christians to not think that every single interaction we have, especially in our culture, stats say 3% evangelical in Utah, which 3 out of 100 people. Yeah. Anyway, come on. Like, really, we would fail if we didn't think every single interaction we have with every single person we interact with in this city every single day, we would fail if we didn't take advantage of that. Nobody's doing it. Nobody. Are we as Christians doing a good job as ministers of the gospel, showing the world the love that we have for the broken, the compassion that we have towards the needy, and the heart that we have for the lost? Honestly, I would say there's not enough of us out there doing it. For the amount of Christians in this valley, not that many people sharing, caring. Brothers and sisters, that can change. I think it starts with you in this room. It starts with us. We are God's ministers in this world for their good. For their good. God will use you for their good. And maybe that sounds terrifying. Is Brian saying we need to do some evangelism? I'm saying yes, and I'm glad that terrifies you. It should make us all a little bit uncomfortable. Like, right, I think that's the Holy Spirit just trying to get our attention. We need to wake up. People are dying without the gospel. And there are neighbors. We're ministers, right? 1 Peter says, to declare, proclaim the excellencies of Christ. Maybe a good idea would be for you to find a brother and sister that could encourage you to do that more. Hey, could you hold me accountable? Hey, we should do this together. I want to do this. I don't want to go out there and do it alone. Will you come with me? Can we go do something? Just small baby steps, right? To help you feel like it's something you can do. Because trust me, it's a gift you have. Saying something about Jesus, opening your mouth and just reading a Bible verse out loud, there's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has empowered you to simply read that. You could just read something out loud and God could use that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't do it alone, right? Remember Luke 10, Jesus sent his disciples out 2 by 2. That's a great model. That's a great standard. Practically, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, 2 people are better than 1, right? 2 heads are better than 1. Jesus implemented it. You feel safer when you're not alone. Testimony of 2 or more people, greater when sharing with others. 2 can answer questions better than 1 can. And being with another person will just straight up just build your confidence. It'll just make you feel like you can do a better job being with somebody else. Apostle Paul was a missionary, always had another dude with him, even in prison. He had a homie that he rolled, hey, will you go to jail with me? All right, let's go. These are our models as Christians to imitate. Going out regularly with other believers. You don't have to do that alone. You don't. Find a buddy, buddy system. Grab your friend, hold each other's hands, go for it. But is that real? Is that a real thing in your life? Is that something that could be a real thing in your life? Because the Bible actually commands it should be a regularly active thing in our lives. But does that thing practically for us in our fear and our intimidation and our phones, like, oh, can I really put this down? Does that really seem like something you could do? The Bible says yes. Jesus says yes. The Holy Spirit says yes. We have so many opportunities with this church, right? We do so many things together. We do church together. We're in homes together and Bible studies together. We eat meals together. We raise our kids together. Why don't we just go out and talk to our neighbors about Jesus together? Simple. If you have kids, it's even easier. Man, going out with Wesley over the last week or so, flyering in our neighborhoods, it's intimidating me because I don't really like walking door to door and bugging people. It's not really my thing. But Wesley, that's a spiritual gift, bugging people. It's tremendous. But he will like walk up to people, like our neighbor Joan. He's been every day. He's been like planting flyers at her front doorstep for like 2 weeks. Like he's gone through a whole stack. I'm like, Joan, I'm so sorry. My son, you got a whole stack, right? She's like, yeah, they're right here. But every day he's going, you hear that, like, we're having breakfast, and he runs across the stream, like, Wesley, where are you going? He's like, I got to go Flyer John's house real quick. Which, we should probably lock the door. Well, we do lock the door. Wesley, how are you doing that? Anyways, or like, there's kid, neighbor, we were Flyer, and there's kids in their backyard, right? He's such like a telemark, he's like such a doorman. Let me sell you this vacuum. But he has the Flyer, and these kids are playing in the backyard, so he starts yelling at them through a crack in their fence. Hey, guy! And he's sliding the thing. Come to church! I'm like, I don't have that kind of guts. I don't. But man, it's so easy for him. Why can't we do that? Man, to have the faith of a five-year-old, to have the boldness of a five-year-old. Imagine what God would do with the church if we just had the courage and boldness of a five-year-old. So you guys know you have opportunities. Our small groups, our Bible studies are taking a break for the summer, and we're hoping with our church that we could rally around encouraging one another. So you get in groups over the summer to go and do some intentional evangelism together. There's talks of going to the malls, doing outreach. There's talks of Thursday nights at the temple, as usual. Pastor Josh, I think, is even talking about maybe an evangelistic thing on Wednesday. So, I mean, there's going to be so many opportunities for us as a church to go out together and talk and brag about Jesus. I really pray that you guys would own that, be a part of that, join us this summer ministering to the world. Because the biggest witness to the lost is not how we treat one another in this room, it's how we treat the world. Every one of you are ministers in this world. Point number three, use your gifts. Point number three on your sheet of paper. God desires each member to utilize his or her unique spiritual gifts in ministry. Each has received a gift, 1 Peter 4. Use it to serve one another. Use it to serve one another. That's your Bible telling you to do something with your gifts. Use it to serve one another. Every member is a minister. Use your gifts. There's something you may not know. You have spiritual gifts. You have spiritual gifts. As a believer with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, changing you every day, you have a tremendous gift, the Holy Spirit. And spiritual gifts are from God above. His Holy Spirit has placed these gifts in you, Christian, to be used for his glory, to build up one another, to strengthen his church, and to demonstrate Christ's goodness to the world. Use those gifts to serve one another. Any spiritual gifts? We'll get into in a minute. I guess we could throw them up here. Here's a list of spiritual gifts. These aren't all, but these are just from Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians, a whole shebang of spiritual gifts, okay? Some of y'all have these gifts more than others, and I couldn't tell you all individually what your most powerful spiritual gift is, but I could tell almost every single one of you what a bunch of your spiritual gifts are. And God desires you to use those gifts for ministry, in the church, in the world, to give it away to others, to bless others, use it to serve one another. Your gifts make God's goodness real to one another. We aren't a body of believers that just show up and say, feed me, serve me. Your gifts demonstrate God's goodness in your life. It demonstrates God's goodness to others. Whatever your gifts may be, it demonstrates God's goodness in your life. And there are spiritual gifts on this list that you go like, yep, absolutely, non-apostle, true, first century, those guys are dead and gone. Prophet, event, you'd be like, prophecy, not really my thing. It's more prophetic, preaching, proclaiming, teaching, encouragement, evangelist. You're like, not really my gift. But trust me, these are gifts most of you have. You just don't really know you have them. You haven't been working them out. You're not really trained on how to use them. But you have these. Some of these you do every day practically. You don't even really understand that they're just natural gifts that God's given you in your everyday life. So we want to help you. That's what we want to spend the most of our time with tonight. We want to help you to expose those gifts, to elevate your spiritual gifts here, because God gave them to you, and it would be wasteful of us to neglect those gifts and see you flourish and use those gifts more actively in this church and in this world. Some of you guys have amazing spiritual gifts of teaching and leading Bible studies and discipling others and kids' church, teaching our kids and our ministries and the ladies' ministry. Some of you guys are the best musicians I've ever met. That's a spiritual gift. God's blessed you with something. You didn't even know God was going to use it, and then you got saved, and now God's using it. Travis, case in point, one of the best guitar players I've ever heard. It's a spiritual gift. Prayer, some of you guys are the most passionate prayer people I've ever met. It's a spiritual gift. Meeting spiritual needs to hurting, compassion, mercy, to the lost, to the confused. That's an incredible gift. Many of you have. Many of you have that. Evangelists, sharing the gospel, street witnessing, posting, engaging with people on social media, inviting everybody that you come in contact with to church. That's an incredible spiritual gift. Hospitality, meals and dinners with people, buying dinners and movies and taking people out and blessing them. Some of you guys financially have the ability to be more hospitable towards others than most. That's a tremendous spiritual gift. Compassion, right? Encouraging other people, text messages and voicemails and visiting people in their houses and reaching out to the hurting people in the church who can't make it to church or people who are struggling. Your compassion towards one another is a spiritual gift. That is a gift from God. Look at this. You guys know The Rock Church Cares. We have a whole ministry that we've been implementing. I just literally copied and pasted these off of our website. Look at some of the ministries that the members in this church are actively participating in. These aren't even all of them. Like, I couldn't screenshot big enough on my computer. But you have access to contribute to these right now. Salt Lake City Rescue Mission, The Road Home, Because He Loved Us, Because He First Loved Us, Heartland Ministries, there's For the Orphan Network, Royal Family Kids Camp, Utah Adoption Exchange, Utah Foster Care, Compassion International, The Lulu Tree, Voice of the Martyrs, Operation Christmas Child, Mission Trips and Churches in Europe, Honduras, Romania, Pregnancy Resource Center, Meals, Center for Christian Therapy. There's more. If you go to the website, you can click. Those are just ministries that the Christians in the Rock Church are actively participating in. I think the Rock Church gave away over $100,000 last year in 2016. So when your friends, your atheist friends, or your non-believing friends go, what do you Christians do? Oh, you're going to pray. Oh, pray for blood. It's like, why don't you go do something? It's like, we are. This is just our church. What are they doing, right? I'm not trying to be a bully. But it's like, hold on. I can send you to a website. I can show you what we're actively doing for our city. What are you doing? Christian, we've been all called to minister to those in need. You really are the hands and the feet of the local church. Does that motivate you? Does that encourage you? Does that spark a fire in your heart for zeal and passion to want to go and contribute more? I pray it does. I really pray it does. You have a gift, and it's crucial that we use it. If you need help finding it, we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about that tonight. I want you to spend some time with your family, and we're going to talk about some of the ministries that are available right now at your fingertips, some of the gifts that you have, and how you may be able to use them. So if you're looking for an opportunity, if you're looking for what am I good at, we're going to get to that. But first, let's finish with this. Every member, a minister by the power of God. Point number four, all ministry is in vain without the help of and our reliance upon the Holy Spirit. He is our source of power in the church and in the believer. He is our helper in all matters of faith. He is our helper in all matters of faith, service, and direction. 1 Corinthians 12. Is it 12? Yeah, that's right. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Christ. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. You have spiritual gifts, Christian. Let's have them. Let's use them. By the power of God, we would fall short if we didn't give credit where credit was due. Right, Christian? Yeah. He who began a good work in us, who has already begun a good work in us, will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. He will continue to use your life until he calls you home. And it's only with a new heart, a new spirit, being born again, do we see the gospel advancing in our life, through our life, and onto others. Our faith is a gift by the Holy Spirit, given by God. Our service, given by God. Our direction in life, given by God. Our gifts, given by God. Our ministry in the church and in the world, given by God. We do not rest in our own strengths and talents and accomplishments. Every ounce of fruit in this church, every soul saved in this church, every marriage reconciled, every addiction fought, every temptation won, every sin conquered, all possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God in each and every one of you every single day. So as we close, every one of you who are Christians have incredible spiritual gifts. Every single one of you who are born-again believers are empowered by the Holy Spirit to use those gifts. Every single one of you are significant and skilled ministers in this church, and we need you. Every single one of you are influential and needed ministers in the world. They need you. So we're going to skip your common practices. This is what I have for us right now. Flip over the back sheet of your paper. You have a long, extensive list of opportunities for ministry. I copied and pasted some stuff online. I spent an hour or two literally just coming up with random stuff, like ministries that we do regularly in our lives that we don't even realize is ministry. So I broke them up a little bit. What I want you to do is, as you're reading through this list with your writing utensil, number two pencil, I want you to first circle any of the ministries that you see here that you feel that you're good at or that you could be at or that you feel like you're gifted at or it's something that you are actually actively participating in. This isn't a boasting thing. This is just to kind of help you see some of these ministries and go, oh, I realize I have a heart for this. I'm good at this. So that's the first thing I want you to do is circle some of the ministries. You can circle as many as you want. That's the hope, is that you circle a whole bunch. You see a whole bunch of these things that you go, I'm good at that. I can do that. I do this. Circle the ones that you feel you are good at, really gifted at, or could be if you just flexed a little bit and practiced, right? Whoa, that's me. Next, underline the ministries that you feel like you could really grow in. That like, man, I'm like, that's probably last on my list of things I would want to do. But in your heart, you know, oh, I should probably do that. I don't want to do that, but I feel like God could really use me there. So circle the ones that you think you're good at. Underline the ones that you feel like you could grow in, you could become more better, you could get more involved in. So I want you to do that for the next few minutes, and then I'm going to ask you guys to break up into groups of like three or four for our remaining time. We've got 30 minutes, and then I got a couple questions for you. So take a few minutes. I'll be back up in a minute. I'll break you up into groups.